That is really, really awesome job, congregation. I know our Father must be pleased. Way to sing out. It's great to see you today. I'm glad that you're here. I hope everybody's had a great last week. If you didn't, the good news is it's a new week this week, and so today is starting out right. Today we have with us, this young man's been here before, but not on a Sunday. But Kaizen is here today. Do you want to bring Kaizen up? Come on, Roisha. I'm going to get to hold this young man for the first time. I'm excited about that. Come here, big man. Look at there. He's like, what is all that noise? That's scary. I got a loud voice, I know. He is precious. Proud of you having him here. And he's being so sweet. Thank you very much. It's always great to have mamas, daddies, families bring their babies. We want to be a church that always brings our babies to church, brings our babies to worship. And we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can in our power in a world that is set up for children to fail and lose their soul. It's set up for all of us to fail and lose our soul. The good news is we can overcome it. Today, we are talking about something that we started talking about in Bible class this morning. And I told the Bible class, it's very rare that my class and my sermon really line up together. All of it is with the theme to move forward. But sometimes you notice in life, you're on a roll. You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to do what's best. Things are going so well. And then all of a sudden you have some setbacks. Some things get in the way. Maybe it's life in general. Maybe it's financial struggles. Maybe it's certainly disease and sickness and death, unfortunately, even. But at the end of the day, sometimes people get bogged down because of sin. Sin is death. Sin is separation from God. Sin is violating God's will. We don't want to be sinners. But unfortunately, we are. Because this world is cursed and because Satan is the prince of this world, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul also said there's none righteous, no, not one. When we're reminded of that, sometimes it becomes, well, since everybody's a sinner, I am too, I can't move forward. Well, I'm here to tell you today that what happens before sin is temptation. Temptation is what Satan lures us with. He tries to get us to fall, to struggle, to sin. Today, there's been freedom from both of those. Today, there is freedom from both of those. Satan lost Jesus Christ, overcame. And because Jesus Christ overcame, we too can be overcomers. Today, it is my goal for temptation and for sin to not be what bogs us down anymore. Are we going to continue in sin? Yes, unfortunately. But the good news is the blood of Jesus continues to wash and cover that multitude of sins. Thanks be to God, right? Thanks be to God that, oh wretched man that I am, God still loves me and made a way of escape. You have heard this before, right? Don't touch. Maybe it's the stove. Maybe it's a new toy from the parents. Whatever it may be, we've all heard, don't touch. Maybe it's a cake that was just baked. Whatever it may be, the words don't touch remind us we're not supposed to do something. That's exactly what God told Adam and Eve. Don't eat it. Don't nibble at it. Don't touch it. But what does Satan do? The devil is the one who puts the bait in the water and says, not only do I want you to touch it, I want you to devour it. I want you to inhale it. I want you to consume it. The devil wants us to fail. He wants us to touch. He wants us to sin. We all, if we are at the age of accountability, have faced temptations. We all, if we live long enough, will face temptations. Even Jesus Christ faced temptations. Please turn with me in your Bibles or devices to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read together in just a moment some of these words. Before we get into the text, though, I want to ask you this question. Why did the devil tempt Jesus? Why did the devil tempt Jesus? Do you think that he was foolish to do that? Do you think that he was just not smart enough? I mean, after all, Jesus Christ was God. Certainly God's not going to be tempted and fall to temptation. So why would Satan waste his time? I tell you, it's number one, because Jesus could have sinned. He just chose not to. But that's how tenacious Satan is. He wanted God to fall. He wanted God to fail. He wanted God to sin. Death came from Satan. Satan wanted him to die. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we have these words. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And while he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. It almost seems to me that Matthew, when I read and let the Scriptures harmonize together, that Matthew is recording these three temptations as the grand finale. Because if you read Mark's account, Mark records this in Mark 1, 12, and 13, it says Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days tempted by Satan. It almost appears that for 40 straight days, Satan threw everything he had at Jesus Christ. You see, in Revelation, we learn about the devil being loosed. Perhaps this was the time he was loosed. Perhaps it was at this occasion, while Christ was on earth, that Satan had everything in his power to throw at Jesus. I mean, he could give him the kingdoms of the world because he's the prince of this world. He threw all these things in Jesus, and Jesus, whether he was tempted 3 times or for 40 straight days, he resisted every single time. Jesus Christ did not give in. He didn't even bat an eye. In fact, his attitude was, bring it on. I do not care what you throw at me because I will not fall. We today, if we're wanting to move forward, we've got to adopt the attitude of Christ. My faith is strong. My life in Christ is great. Everything is not perfect because this world is not perfect. But at the end of the day, Satan, no matter what you throw at me, I'm ready. I'm going to battle. I'm going to face you, and I'm going to face whatever angel and power that you throw my way. In order to do that, though, we've got to adopt the attitude of Christ. We've got to adopt an attitude that reminds us in Revelation 21:8 that we should not be cowardly. We should not be timid. We should not be afraid. The devil makes a living out of our doubt and out of our fear. Today, we've got to decide no more doubt, no more fear. No matter what, I'm going to move forward. I didn't say today we wouldn't be tempted again. I didn't say today we wouldn't fall into sin again, or at least sin again. But the good news is we'll be able to recognize it, move forward, resist, and make that same pattern happen every single day. But in order to do that, we've got to study Jesus' pattern. Jesus had a pattern. When you look at what He did to overcome, again, whether it was 3 times or for 40 straight days, whatever He did, we need to adopt. And here is that pattern. Some things you need to remember when we are faced with temptation. Number one, the closer to God, the craftier the devil will be. The closer to God, the craftier the devil. Look back at Matthew 4:1. Here in the Scripture, Matthew records the word then. Then Jesus. Well, what happened before then? If you know the Scriptures, you know exactly what happened before then. Look back at Matthew 3, beginning in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the river to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What happened before then? Jesus went to John the Baptist and he said, I need to be baptized. Jesus didn't need to repent of his sins. That's what John was baptizing for then. Jesus needed to be baptized to fulfill God's righteousness, to set the tone, to set the example. This is what really begins his public ministry. This is what really begins his party of saying, I am now here to establish the church, to establish God's new law, and ultimately die for all man's sins. In Matthew 3:13-17, we see that God is very pleased. God is very proud. He is very happy. He is very pleased with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has now opened up the world and opened up the door, I should say, and said to the world, hey, I am God in the flesh. And here I am, getting ready to offer myself up. Jesus baptized to fulfill all righteousness. The Holy Spirit descends upon Him. God publicly acknowledges Jesus Christ as His Son. That's what happened on that occasion. At that moment, I don't know that Jesus was never, He's not ever been not close to God. Okay? But is there a chance this was as close as He's ever been? Perhaps. I mean, you think about this unique relationship, okay? You think about how much God loved Him. So, to understand the point I'm trying to tell you is, I don't believe you could be any closer to God than Jesus was on this occasion. Okay, Jesus and God are one. Spiritually, they were connected. But what happened? It didn't matter how close to God Jesus was. Because then you have the word then. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil didn't care how close Jesus was to God. What he decided to do was become even craftier. David the same way. David was a man after God's own heart. Very close to God. A great king over united Israel. After Saul and that debacle and that mess that happened, God took the kingdom away from him and He gave it to David and his lineage. David was a great man, a great king. Close to God. Satan said, here's Bathsheba. Look how pretty she is. She's not yours. You can't have her. But that's exactly what he wanted. That's exactly what he took. That's exactly... What did Satan do? The closer David was to God, the craftier he became. What about Adam and Eve? Could they be any closer to God than they were? After God put them in the garden in paradise, He married them together. They were naked and not ashamed. They had everything you could ever want. God walked with them. He talked with them. And then all of a sudden, here comes crafty Satan. The closer to God, the craftier the devil. What about Noah? Here's a story you don't tell at Vacation Bible School. Noah, yeah, he's a great man. He was, you know, the Bible says, but Noah. All this world's corrupt, but Noah. Noah goes, he builds the ark, he gets what God tells him to get on the ark, he gets his family on the ark. God shuts the door, the floods came. Everything happens. Finally, they're on Mount Ararat and it's time to open the doors and he comes out. He goes and he plants a vineyard. What happens when you have a bunch of juice and you make wine? It becomes alcoholic, of course. He consumed that. He gets drunk, uncovers himself, whatever shameful act happened right there. Couldn't be any closer than he was after he gets off the ark. He builds a sacrifice. I don't blame him. I'm praising you, God, for opening that door. All these animals and everything else. Been on this boat. But how close was he? And what does Satan do? He gets craftier. So the question is, how close are you to God today? Well, you might think, I'm very close to God. Well, guess what? Satan's not going away. I'm not saying that to scare us. I'm saying that to prepare us. We need to keep moving forward because Satan gets craftier. He gets more cunning. And we've got to be prepared. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. That's what it says right there. He says, all these bad people that won't go to heaven. He said, some of you were that way. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were made right in the sight of God. Today, temptation is out there. You may even be tempted while you're sitting in a place of worship. The closer we are to God, the craftier He is. But what we must remember is no matter how crafty Satan was, Jesus, being close to God, helped him win. And we can win too. The craftier he is, the closer we must get. In order to move forward, we've got to get rid of the distractions. We've got to get rid of anything that stands in the way of us and God so we can be prepared. Secondly, this morning, we need to understand this about temptation. Don't be perplexed when temptation comes. Be prepared. Matthew 4, 2 through 7, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. I believe that's the biggest understatement in the entire Bible. 40 days, he was hungry. Now, he was starving to death. After 40 minutes, I'm hungry. He's 40 days. 40 days. Okay? Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil took him up into the city. You know the rest. All right? I'm not going to go through all this and read it again. But going back to this first part here, the stones becoming bread. Jesus was starving. Luke wrote that he ate nothing 40 days. You know, my mind, you know, we've got some very smart people in here. I don't know how the body functions. I don't know how he did it. He was just in such a state of being, again, I told you how close he was to God, that he was fully relying on God through it all, through this fast. But then Satan knows that. And he said, turn these rocks to juicy, hot, delicious rolls from my Old Charlie's. Okay? And that butter that's melting all over it. That you could just take it and you could baptize it in that butter. See, you want to eat it right now. But you get the point. Satan didn't just say, turn it into some old 10-day-old stale bread. He said, you've got the power. Use it to what I say. Obey my commands. And turn it into whatever bread you want it to be too. But see, Jesus wasn't perplexed by that. He went to the wilderness to be tempted. He wasn't perplexed. He was prepared. He was ready for whatever Satan threw his way. We must be ready too. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians 6, or in your devices, either one. However you get to the Holy Word. Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If we're going to be prepared, we must remember a few things according to what Paul wrote there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I use this example in Bible class today, but if Justin had a group of people that were forcing him to sin, okay? It was a bunch of men out there, and maybe they were great fighters and great whatever, and they would hold him down and force him to sin. We could build up enough people to whip those people off of Justin. We could keep those people off of him, and it'd be no problem, because that's flesh and blood. But he didn't. That's not where we are we? He said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers in the darkness of this age. And that, folks, is not something we can just go get some buddies and whip and be done with. It's an ongoing process. That's why moving forward is so critical. That's why we need to put on the whole armor of God. Don't just put on a little bit of it. Put it all on so that we can resist all the fiery darts of Satan. That way, when he comes to you with a temptation, you're not perplexed. You're prepared. Finally, this morning, in order to understand Christ's pattern better, and to understand what we need to do. How did Jesus resist? We need to remember, we need to know God and say no to Satan. Know God and no to Satan. Verses 8 through 11, Matthew 4 again. Again, the devil took him up exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, "All these things I will give if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus finally had had enough, hadn't he? He said, "Enough is enough. Away with you." We have to get to that point, or he's going to keep hanging out with us. We've got to get to the point where we say, "Enough is enough, Satan. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to get my life back on track. I'm ready to get right with you. Leave me alone. Get away. Get behind me. Get lost. Go." That's what Jesus told him. And that's what we must do as well. But in order to do that, we've got to know God. And we've got to say no to Satan. James 4, 7 through 10. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Here's the solution. Submit to God, number one. In just a moment, Steve's going to come and lead us in a song. And at that song, we call it the song of invitation. It's inviting you to obey Christ's invitation. When he says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We're inviting you to make the decision to be baptized, as Grady prayed earlier, into Christ. To allow God to be in your heart, to be in your mind, to be in your soul, to be in your all. Submit to God. Know God. That's what James said. Then he says, that will give us the strength to do what? Resist the devil. He told us there, resist the devil. Know God, know to Satan. The closer we become, the harder it is to get to. Doesn't mean he's not going to get craftier. He's not going to get where he is going to keep coming after us. He's not going to give up. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot harder for him to get to us. We need to be clean. We need to be joyful. We need to be humble. Because it's God who will lift us up. I want to close with one more passage this morning. And it's the one Bo read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. Listen to these words of Paul. Do you believe them? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. What's Paul saying there? You better be prepared. He's going to be crafty. He's going to be prepared. You got to be more prepared. You got to say no. In fact, he went on to say, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Unfortunately, church, Satan is good at what he does, but he's limited. God controls it all. And the closer we get to God, the better off we all will be. You know, when it came to Jesus, Satan kept coming. He kept tempting. You know what Jesus did? He kept resisting. Satan even got him on the cross. He did. He got him on the cross. He got him in a tomb. But Jesus came up out of that tomb. The way of the cross is the way to the crown. Obtain it. Resist the devil. Move forward. And let's do it right now. It's together we stand and sing.